welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. The word impossible means that it is not possible. And Jesus talks to his disciples and he says that it is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, you are going to be offended. I am going to be offended. But he also goes on to say, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said to him, Lord, increase our faith. We really do need an increase of faith to forgive multiple times. And our special guest today is Don McLafferty, who has experienced what it means to have to forgive multiple times.
Don, welcome to It Is Written Canada. It's so wonderful to have you with us here today again.
I'm happy to be here. Canada means much to me.
So why is that, Don?
When I was a little boy, you know, I grew up in Hawaii, but for about 8 summers of my life, we had the privilege of spending summers with Grandpa way up in northern Saskatchewan. And he was a beekeeper. And so I fell in love with the forest of Canada and the lakes of Canada and the rivers and all the wildlife out there. It was just beautiful.
So Don, you mentioned that you were with your grandfather. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking about forgiveness today, like Mark mentioned. So can you tell us about your grandmother, about
yes.
Grandma Mac,
yes.
and the impact that she had on your life?
Yes. And Grandma Mac is on the other side of my family. And she was a great storyteller, like a fantastic storyteller. And she was just also a great mentor in my life. So not just a storyteller to entertain, but would use these stories to also encourage me about how much my Heavenly Father loves me, how much He calls me to live for Him, and to fall in love with Jesus through all these stories.
So Don, it is no doubt that you probably got your storytelling abilities from your grandmother.
Yes.
She sounds like a very vibrant person. Did she ever go through some tough times?
Oh yes. And I think that those tough times not only molded and melded her character, but God used her journey to do the same for me. You know, forgiveness is a big thing in life, whether we will forgive or not, if we find it impossible to forgive. I remember when I was a little boy, and this was probably my first big time in life where I was really confronted with the need to forgive. And it was by watching what my grandmother went through. So my grandpa and grandma on my dad's side had moved to a very rural area. And they noticed that the people needed a church. And the people were very poor in the area. And they made the church, like made the bricks with their own hands. Like, you know, like form them out of the clay and put them out under the sun. And there's just not much to work with. But my grandparents knew how to build. And so they really put their shoulders to the work personally, physically, and helped make this church just rise up out of nothing. And they started ministering to the people there in their retirement years and just loving the people and visiting the people in the hospital and when they were sick. And that sounds beautiful, except my grandfather wasn't really accepted by the people in that area too much. Maybe because of his education level, maybe because his accent wasn't the same as what they were used to. Probably a whole bunch of reasons. He was just not fitting in with the culture. But he loved the people. Well, they started talking bad about him and criticizing him. It's one thing if it happens once or twice, but this started happening in heavier and heavier waves. And my poor grandfather was a very sensitive person, like very, had a big heart for people, loved people, was very sincere, and so he took it to heart. And one day, after months of this, and he was just starting to drag from the emotional strain of it all, my grandmother said at the end of one such day, honey, can I get you anything? And he was in his favorite chair, and he said, just get me a glass of water. I'm just so thirsty. So she went into the kitchen to get a glass of water. When she came back, he was dead.
Oh, no.
And she always said of that, she said he really died of a broken heart. It was just so much, it just broke his heart. Well, I was just a little boy, probably 8 years old or something. I was shocked. I had just visited them out in this beautiful rural area, maybe a few weeks before my grandfather died. My grandma was in shock because they had carved their little place, their little home, right out of the deep woods. And it was to be a place for their retirement years. And they had put much thought and love into building that with their own hands. And now she was by herself, way out in the middle of nowhere, no family or friends very close by at all, and what to do. And she prepared for the funeral, and she started realizing she had much bitterness about the passing of my grandfather. I remember she pulled me aside and she said, for the first time I remember ever having my grandmother confide in me her own personal need for the intervention of Jesus.
And you're a little 8-year-old boy.
I think I'm probably 8 years old. And she said, Donnie, that's what she called me, Donnie, would you pray for grandma? I said, why do I need to pray for you? She always prayed for me. She said, the people here have been hard on your grandpa and I want to forgive them, but I don't know how to forgive them. Now, isn't that amazing that she'd be that open? I don't see that as a bad thing, but it was a big trust on her part. And I remember her saying that at the funeral, you know, people would come up and say how much they loved my grandfather and what a fine man he was and how they loved him visiting. But my grandmother wrestled with it because some of those same people had talked behind his back and had criticized him and led him to being so hurt over these situations. And it was galling for her, and it was a very bitter time. Yes, Grandma, I told her. I said, I'll pray for you. And I remember getting on my little knees and holding her hands and praying for my grandma and pleading with God, as only an 8-year-old can, God, would you please help my grandma to forgive all these people that hurt grandpa? That's the way I said it to God. And you know, she did a hard thing. She basically had to sell off that little place almost for a song, you know, because in desperation, she had to get out. She couldn't take care of it by herself. And so she left that beautiful little place, and she left also her bitterness behind.
Oh, wow.
And was able to forgive the people of that whole countryside.
That's
those
beautiful.
Woods.
So God answered your prayer.
Yes, he did. And God showed his faithfulness. Now, that was just the first time I remember Grandma having to deal with forgiveness. The second time was after some years when she had gone down to Brazil and had come back. And, you know, she decided she was not going to just mope around without my grandpa. She wanted to serve. So she had gone to Brazil, and she had spent some years with my uncle and aunt. And she had served Jesus with them, caring for the people in Brazil. And she loved the children and the young people of Brazil and helped some of them learn English. And you get the idea. Well, one day she was back on furlough, you know, taking a vacation from that. And she was with her cousin, I believe it was like a cousin, a close relative, and they were driving along beside a railroad track. And as they're driving along, they knew they were about to cross a railroad track when around the bend came this train, just coming along. And the cousin of my grandma said, oh, I can get across before that train. And my grandmother said, oh, please don't. She put her hand on his hand and said, oh, you don't need to do that. We're already old and we can wait 5 or 10 minutes for it to go by. And he said, I can do it. He said, don't tell me what to do. And he stepped on the gas and he went right up on top of the track. And it was a double set of tracks. And you know what happened. You probably can guess what happened. He stalls right on it and here's the train. I mean, it's barreling down on them. And the cousin, and I think another relative, they were able to escape the train, and she was stuck in the car, and she was getting out. She had just swung her little legs out. She had a little tiny little thing. And when the train hit, boom, and hit the car. And she went flying. What was amazing is she survived it. And the cousin and the other relative, they came out just fine. But my grandma was really broken up, like physically broken up. She had to be in a huge cast. And, you know, the impact just threw her. And it's amazing she survived it.
Absolutely.
But this is the second time I remember her coming to me and saying, Donnie, you know that I have always been a physically fit and energetic grandma who likes to get around fast, and she would move fast. Not only could she tell stories with much animation, but she would hike with us, pick blackberries, go places. She would take her little skirts and tuck them in and hop on the back of a motorcycle and go. She was that kind of grandma. And now she had much pain and agony because she was all broken up. They had to remove one or more of her little toes. There's just many things that happened out of that wreck. And she said, but the worst thing is, I keep replaying in my mind how I reached over and said, cousin, don't go. And he did a stupid thing, a crazy thing, and forced me to go over that track and get stuck there. And he escaped. The one who did it escaped, and I wasn't trying to do anything wrong, and this happened to me. And she said, and I resent him, and I'm bitter towards him. Now, I was now, I think, a teenager, late teenager now, and again, she said, Donnie, this is not of God that I would have these feelings towards my cousin. Yes, he made a mistake, and he did the wrong thing, but I should have the heart of Jesus for him, and I don't. Would you pray for me? Now, that's so tender to me because she had mentored me so many times, and now she was coming now again to me and pleading with me, would you please intercede and pray for me? So I prayed. I took her hands and I prayed, and I cried out to God that God would help her forgive the man who had not just put her life in jeopardy, but now, because of that one decision, now changed the way she walked. Now she walked with pain, and she would until the day she died. So every day she had a reminder of that. And you know, maybe our viewers have stories too in their lives where one crazy bad decision on someone else's part has hurt the rest of their life, right? This happens. So we prayed, and Grandma had to wrestle with that because every day she had this physical reminder, but God gave her grace to forgive her cousin, and she became free. You know, when you forgive, you become free.
Yes.
It's
yes.
freedom to forgive.
Yes. Yes.
So I kept on growing in up into my young 20s, and I became a pastor. And I thought, wow, I'll never forget how my grandma forgave the impossible. But the biggest test to forgiveness in my grandma's life was still to come. She had a big heart for little children, and she loved telling stories to children. She always loved gathering up clothes and sending them down to Brazil for the children. Early one morning, I think on a Sunday morning, she was going to go early and package up clothes at the church and send them off. And so she started going along. Now, she couldn't walk like she used to, but she still would hobble along pretty good pace, and she made it almost to the church. But she did not know that someone was watching her. Not just watching, but was following her. And the mist and fog of that early morning, somebody was following her with evil intent. And as she just reached up to the door of the church and to put the key in, because she had her own key because she worked there much, all of a sudden a hand grabbed her from behind, and a big man swirled her around and slung her over his shoulder and pulled her, dragged her, and then carried her into the inner part of the courtyard of the church. And there he slammed her down on the ground and tried to strangle her and kill her in all kinds of different crazy ways, and then ended up raping my poor little grandma.
And how old was your grandma?
She was at least upper 80s. Yeah, upper 80s. And frail, you know, because she's older. And then she's also been through this other thing with the wreck with the train. So she's a frail little lady. And this is a big, big guy. And so he heard some children playing, and it scared him off because he didn't want any witnesses, of course. And he left her for dead and went racing off. And little children came up and they looked and they said, what is that? Because they saw, you know, she's all in tatters and she's bloody.
Oh, no.
And they said, Mrs. Mack, is that you? They said. And she could barely talk. And she said, "It is me." She said, "Call 911 and get emergency help." She could barely say that. She could just barely croak the words out. And the children said, "Okay." And they ran off and they hopped on their bicycles and they got mom and dad and they called. And praise God, the emergency vehicle came very, very quickly and gathered her up. She was just like barely there, took her to the hospital and rescued her life. But the worst was still to come. Night after night, you can imagine what happened. She had nightmares. Now, my grandmother walked in the peace of God for all her life, except for those two other times. And she knew the power of Jesus, but now she had these terrible nightmares of this big man, you know, brutally terrorizing her and coming at her. And it was just horrible. She couldn't sleep and she would scream in the night sometimes. And I remember getting a call and she said, "Donnie, I am in trouble." I said, "Grandma, you survived the attack." "Yes, I did. But now I have something in my heart that I've never known like this before. I hate the man who did this to me. He has caused me to live in such fear every night. I'm scared to go to sleep." She said, "I've never been afraid of the dark, and I'm afraid of the dark. I'm never afraid to be alone, and now I'm afraid to be alone. I hate this man. What do I do?" I was in my 20s when this attack happened on my grandmother, and I found myself also to be frightened by the hate that I had towards the man that had done this. When violence happens to you or someone you love, it also stirs up within you all kinds of feelings. And as believers, we get confronted by our need for Jesus in a whole different way. And so here I was young, wrestling with these same things. And I remember I had, in private, had to really ask God some tough questions. Where were you when this happened to my grandma? You know, sometimes we ask God that, right? When terrible things happen to us.
Absolutely.
Where were you?
It's a fair question.
And I had to wrestle with God on that and think through it and pray through it and also go to God's word about it. I had to ask God to do a heart surgery on me so that he could cut out my hate out of my heart and give me forgiveness for this man. And that had taken me some time. Like, I can't remember now, but it, you know, some months to really wrestle that, like some months. And then finally, now back to my grandma, when she was sharing that she was wrestling with her hate of him. And I had not known that when I had gone through this myself concerning her. Now I thought, oh, now my grandma is confronted with her biggest need to forgive in her whole entire life. The other two stories, you know, were difficult, horrible in themselves, losing my grandfather and also then losing, you know, the body that she loved to have work for her. But now this was being violated in so many different ways, many different ways, all in one, you know, attack. And so I remember saying, "Grandma," I said, "tell me more." And I didn't know what more was, but she told me more about how when she was being attacked, how she cried out to God. And she cried out to God to be with her and to help her. And she even told her attacker, "I forgive you, I forgive you." But of course it didn't stop him, but she was trying to do the right thing to offer him forgiveness even while he was attacking her. That just touches my heart. But you know, she said, "But God still preserved my life." And I said, "Yes, he did." And I was still processing that. But she said, "But what do I do about my hatred of him?" And I said, "God can give you a heart surgery." And she said, "What do you mean by that?" And I grabbed my Bible and I said, "Grandma, do you have a little Bible there with you in the room?" And she grabbed her Bible. It was a tattered, worn Bible. She loved the Word of God very much. And I said, "Go to Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. And I prayed first that God would send the Holy Spirit to bless. I said, "Grandma, God says to you in His Word, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances." And Grandma was very quiet, maybe a little too quiet, and I wasn't sure how she was processing this. I said, "Grandma," I said softly, "God's done this for me and remove my hate towards your attacker." I said, "Grandma, I was scared that if I ever saw that man, what I would do to him. And I didn't want to do to him what I knew Jesus would be so sad for me to do. And he's given me the joy of forgiveness by giving me this heart surgery." I said, "Grandma, is the Holy Spirit calling you to have a heart surgery?" And there was again a pause. And very meekly and quietly, she whispered, "I need this heart surgery. I desperately need it." And she said, "It seems so impossible, though, for me to think that God could do it." But she said, "I know this is the word of God." And so she said, "So I believe, I choose to believe, but I don't know how it's going to work." I said, "Grandma, you don't have to understand how it will work." I said, "That's God's business. He'll take care of your heart surgery." So I prayed and I cried out to God. I said, "God, this is your word. Give my grandma heart surgery right now, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, and remove her heart of stone towards her attacker. Remove her bitterness and her hatred towards the man who hurt her in so many ways and raped her, and do this for the glory of Christ in her life. In Jesus' name, amen." And I can look you both in the eye and say, because of the glory of Jesus, Jesus did hear that prayer, and he heard his word, and he fulfilled it in my grandma's life. And she still lived a couple more years, and her last few years were with freedom before the Lord. Why? Because she's able to forgive this impossible situation in this man. They did find the man, by the way, dragged him into court and asked my grandma to testify. They said, "We'll only give you just a moment." They knew she was frail. They didn't want her to be there for hours and hours of questioning. They put her up in front of the entire court. And they said, "Mrs. McLafferty, we'll just give you just 2 minutes. This is your moment to say something about your attacker." And because of the grace and the power of Jesus Christ, through the word of God, and because God had given her a heart surgery, she looked out across the court to this big, huge man, shackled and with guards standing beside him, a very dangerous man. He'd done this to other women. And she looked out across, and her little wavery voice had the strength and power of God. And she looked out and she said to him, she said, "I say to you, because of the love of Jesus, I can tell you, I forgive you for what you did for me. And Jesus loves you. And I hope one day you'll know this love for yourself."
God performed heart surgery on your grandmother and set her free.
Yes.
And usually when we hold on to this bitterness, we think that the more we hold on to it, the better we will be. And it makes us not better, but bitter.
Yes.
And it just poisons our lives. Not the life of the other person, but our lives.
Right.
And I thank you for sharing that with us, because I know that there are people who have a hard time forgiving. And we all do. This is impossible.
Yes.
It's impossible, Jesus said, you know? It's impossible to something. And the disciples said, increase our faith. So we need an increase of faith to be able to forgive.
Do you know, Don, whatever happened to that man, to your grandmother's attacker?
He was put in prison. And that is where he still is today. And just about a couple of years ago, I heard that he was trying to get out. He was trying to make his case to get out. And all these things came back rushing back, you can imagine. And I thought, I can't imagine him being free again, to be on the streets again. And as I prayed about that, all of a sudden, I realized that God had done a heart change in me, for sure. Because I found myself praying not, "God, keep him in there," but, "God, do what would bring salvation to this man." if he'll find you better in prison, then keep him in prison. But God, if he would find Christ better by getting out and being with his family, then bring him out and help him to get free again, but help him to find his freedom in Christ. And so that's not because I'm a good forgiver. It's because God has the power to help us forgive.
So God kept him in there, and God is still working on his heart as he works on all of our hearts every day.
Yeah.
So as we close up right now, I wonder if you could pray for our viewers, pray for ourselves, each one of us, that we can have a heart that is free from bitterness, from holding on to these offenses, from unforgiveness. Could you do that right
yes.
now?
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, somewhere there is a viewer who is struggling to forgive. For any viewer that just holds their hand up to you and says, God, I am asking for this heart surgery. Would you please give a heart surgery to those requesting it right now? Would you please cut out what they have no power to cut out? Would you cut out hatred and bitterness towards those who have wronged them? And would you also give them a new heart, a new spirit, and so that their life can be like a song lived out for Christ, a song of freedom by the blood of Jesus Christ and his power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Friends, our gift to you today is Pastor Don McLafferty's book, God Still Lives Even When You Wonder.
Don's true stories and testimonies will encourage you to trust God more fully and completely.
We trust that our gift, Don McLafferty's book, God Still Lives Even When You Wonder, will inspire you to live by faith and not by sight alone.
Before you go, we would also like to thank all of you who have supported the ministry of It Is Written Canada with your prayers and financial contributions. Without your support, this television ministry could not have reached so many people for so many decades.
Yes, thank you. And we would also like to invite you to follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel and also listen to our podcasts. And if you go to our website, you can see our latest programs.
You too can experience the fullness of life finding the words of Jesus when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to watch a video of this podcast, please visit iiw.ca, or you can go to our IIW Canada YouTube channel and click on the Videos tab. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you.